God. The temple of the Holy Ghost. The master is
Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. You are welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus. Over here is Pastor David Ogunerobo. And the Lord has put strongly on my heart to begin what I've called the School of Wisdom. Now, this is supposed to be an entire different teaching series, but because of the urgency of how much we need this, we are joining this with our current teaching series, and it will be happening every Sunday. Between 5 to 10 minutes every Sunday, these videos will be played in the service, and I will do well to ensure it's available on my YouTube page so that you can go back to listen to them and be blessed. Now, Bible says, take heed to the flock which is among you and to feed them. And so, paying attention to the flock, a new breed, I just discovered that There are a lot of things that I probably assumed that everyone should know, but I've discovered that those things have to be taught, and that's why we put together the School of Wisdom. You see, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. But forget wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. You see, I look at the decisions a lot of people take, I look at the life that a lot of people lead, and it is obvious they need more wisdom. They need more wisdom. Do you remember that time when Solomon, the son of King David, was just made king, and he was praying to God, and God asked him, what would you want me to do? And Solomon did not ask for the life of his enemies, nor for more riches. Instead, he said he wants wisdom. Do you realize that it was actually David, his father, that told him that that's what you should do if you have the privilege to receive anything from God? How do I know? Look at Proverbs chapter 4 from verse 3. He says, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. And then in verse 4, he says, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Now look at verse 5. He says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. So who taught Solomon that wisdom is the principal thing? David. Who taught Solomon to get wisdom and forsake it not, or forget it not? David. That is how we knew that when God asked him for anything, he said wisdom. You need to get to the point in your life where you begin to prioritize wisdom. Wisdom. Can you look at your life currently, the way you are going about your life, and say you are walking in wisdom? Can you say, with the decisions you've been making and taking, you are walking in profound wisdom? You see, there are many things that people do today that look like wisdom, but as the years go by, they reveal its foolishness. And there are some things that don't seem to look so wise right now, but in the long term, you will see the wisdom behind those things. And this is why wisdom must be learned. Wisdom must be taught. And the first level of wisdom is the decision to receive Christ and to learn about God. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise instruction. Are you with me? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In other words, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Are you following me? You also see in Proverbs 9 verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Actually, that was a direct quotation from Psalm 111 verse 10. This is David speaking now. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, I like the arranging. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, not the totality of wisdom. There are people who fear God They love God. They are growing spiritually, but they don't work hard. Some of them are lazy. And you see, prayer and working with God will not cover up for that. Are you with me? Instead, if you are truly listening to God, He will teach you to be diligent. He will teach you to be prudent. And so, in this course, everything I believe that we must learn as a people rising to truly represent Christ, we're going to capture it under this teaching series, The School of Wisdom. I believe this blessed you. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, from this moment, we receive the drive to place priority on wisdom. We received the pull to place priority on wisdom. Oh God, no more foolishness in our midst. Over our minds, over our hearts, over our souls, and over our spirits. In the name of Jesus, we are helped by you to walk in wisdom. And first and foremost, we will build our wisdom foundation in God. For your word has revealed to us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. No other wisdom will count apart from walking with you. So Lord, as we dedicate our lives to learn about you, to worship you, and to grow in you, oh God, build us up. Build us up in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have learned and prayed. Amen. See you on the next one. We'll just build up from there. And it will be happening every Sunday till further notice. You are blessed.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Your presence is mighty here. But Lord, open our eyes to see. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Amen.
That will lift his name high. They are coming from the east. They are coming from the west. They are the ones. Yahweh's delight. That's the only side I know. Praise the Lord. Father, as we hear your word, we are blessed in the name of Jesus. Amen. So last week Sunday, we began a new series on the subject of Christian consecration. And while the umbrella name for this series has been called Radical Devotion, what we are really trying to communicate is a training in consecration. Reduce it. Let it be what it was before. Let it be balanced. And last week, Sunday, from Matthew 13, 44 to 46, where Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, that when a man had found, he hid it, and for joy selleth all that he hath, and buy that field. We explained that Jesus taught that the kingdom of heaven, which Christ has opened unto us, is a treasure. Amen. Amen. But it is not an obvious treasure. It is hidden to the world. But when you discover it, it will command a response that seems radical. Are you with me? Yes, sir. Are you with me? Yes, sir. And we said this is a very serious concept in our walk with God, because Jesus says this is the description of the kingdom of heaven. So as it were, he was saying, if you have entered the kingdom of heaven, that will be your response. Are you with me? And then we asked, how does a person get to the point where he's radically devoted to Jesus? We said it happens by a revelation of Christ's love for us and a decision to respond to it. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14 to 15 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, or the love of Christ compels us. Are you with me? The love of Christ compels us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Are you with me? So if Christ had to die for all men, then all men deserve to die. And then verse 15 says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. So those who believe in him are the ones that live. And those of us who live, we don't live unto ourselves. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
But unto him which died for them and rose again. Hallelujah. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Is it too low? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Please, if you missed the midweek service, go back to it and listen to it. We re-emphasized what we taught on Sunday, especially with the understanding of Christ's love. Because when it comes to being devoted to God, being devoted to Christ, many people have the subtle idea that Christ is just looking for those he can use and dump. Some people have the idea that Christianity is so boring, is so dry, is so lethargic and uninteresting. And so God is just looking for people who he can use to advance his own cause, get his own job done, and doesn't really have anything in store for them. But the Bible teaches us different. The Bible says in Psalm 16 from verse 11, it says, thou would show me the path of life, in thy presence is the fullness of joy, at thy right hand they are pleasures forevermore. We'll talk about this next week. At the right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So, if there is anybody that understands what pleasure means, is God.
Yes, sir.
Nobody knows how to enjoy more than God. You know, I said something some years ago, and I think I stand on what I said. The ultimate proof that there is a God is the creation of plantain. Ah, have you been somewhere where they are frying plantain before? My God, that smell travels. Eh? Who can? Did you invent plantain? God can create something like that. God knows how to make me enjoy.
Yes, sir.
Can you say after me? God knows how to make me enjoy.
God knows how to make me
enjoy. Say it again. God knows how to make me enjoy.
God knows how to make me enjoy.
What? Enjoyment. Let me tell you, when you get to heaven and see what God really planned for you, you will discover you cheated yourself by excusing yourself away from him. That's not going to be your portion. No?
Amen.
Eh? Have you eaten food and know that this is the handwork of God? That this, my God. Food, God created it. Sleep, God created it. Sleep is another interesting invention. There is a way you sleep like this. You know that you are the Most High Jehovah. You wake up. Who created sleep? God. And then the one that... sex. Who created it? God. Love. The idea of love, in fact, is God. So when God is telling you this, I want you to behave, and you say no, you are the one cheating yourself. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you think God cannot have made a different way for us to have children? If God can make your children tree, go and register, pluck your child. But God designed it in such a way that there will be some form of love and intimacy between two people. Are you with me?
Yes.
In thy presence is the fullness of joy.
Glory.
Shout glory.
Glory.
At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
However, today we are going deeper into this subject of consecration. And we have titled today's teaching, Set Apart. Say after me, Set Apart.
Set apart.
Some of you may be wondering, Pastor, you've used all the time to sing. Yes. And you will hear the word.
Yeah.
You know, every time I tell the Lord, must I sing before I preach? One of those days, I was asking him the question. And then Jesus said to me, he said, no matter how cracked your voice is, make sure you keep on singing to me. I said, why? What do you mean by that? He said, do you remember in 2011? Do you know, I had forgotten. But I remember that day I had a very strange encounter. I did not even know he was the one that came to me. So that day, in the university, we had a program. A pastor was preaching and they were looking for somebody to just sing. The guest minister they invited could not come. So they now told her that there's one boy in 100 level. He said, the guy always plays keyboard and sings. He used to bless us. So they called me. And while I was singing, I felt a hand come on my head. And power was just going through my body. So I just said I would open my eyes and see what happened. Only for me to open my eyes and see that half of the whole congregation was on the ground worshiping and crying. And before then, I had not seen something like that happen. So I was like, okay, what's going on here? Jesus now said, it was me that anointed you that day. He said, anytime you sing, I will be there.
Thank you, Jesus.
He said, anytime you sing, I will be there. And so I said, okay. It's so bad now. Some people say, please don't preach, just be singing. But I must preach. You must hear what? In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So, today's teaching set apart. Don't worry, I'll be fast. Before you know what's happening, we are done. Have you ever heard the word consecration before and you were confused? Today we clarify it for you. Amen.
Amen.
So, what did we say today's teaching is?
Set apart.
Some of you are not talking. What did we say today's teaching is?
Set apart.
Say it after me. Set apart. So, consecration means to separate something for a specific purpose. And that's where we get the word set apart from. To separate something for a specific purpose. If you ever grew up in a home where your mother was very meticulous, so she says something like this. You see these plates? It is for daddy and mommy alone. You know what I'm talking about, right? You see these cups? For daddy and mommy alone, or when a special visitor comes. You know, it's today that people, I used to bash in pastors. Those days, when pastors say, I'm coming to your house, say, the servant of God is coming. They will now bring out that plate you have not seen since they born you. They will remove the dust, clean it. That is what it means to be consecrated, to be set apart. And that's the same idea from where you get the word holiness. Are you with me? That God is holy. God is set apart. He's on a different class on his own. Another example to understand set apart is those days when you write tests or classworks or assignments in school, and maybe the classwork or the test is over 50. Let's say over 100, you'll get the point with this more. Let's say the assignment was over 100. And then after the test or the assignment, yes, what did you score? Yeah, I got 25. What did you score? 26. What did you score? 24. What did you score? Half of the whole class, 24, 25, 26, 28, 25, 39, 30. Then you now see somebody with 50. Say, me, I haven't tried. Before, when he saw 50, he felt bad. No, 50 is too good. When he saw 45, he felt bad. But when he discovered that every other person, 22, 25, 23, 24, me, 45, I tried now. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So he's set apart to some extent. Then as all of you are just there saying, what did you get? Me, 30. What did you get? 32. What did you get? 31. What did you get? 34. You, what did you get? 45. Boss. Then you now see one girl with eyeglass. They are always eyeglass. What did we get? 92. You know, when you see somebody like that, that person is holy. She is separate from the rest. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So God is so separate, he has to be on a class of his own. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
Do you get it?
Yes, sir.
There's one girl that tormented my life. My GS1. Agizi.
Big glasses.
We don't ask her your position. That position first, it belongs to her. You know the anointing? She had been my classmate from primary school. Primary 1 to 5, she was always like, when I got to Jesus and I saw her again, I said, oh God, this girl again, what's the problem? Do you know, this thing affected me to the point where I believed if you are fair and you wear glass, you must have sense. Hey! Sorry. Hey! If you are fair and you wear glasses, nah, you are intelligent. If I go to a class and I see somebody fair with glasses, the day I came first, I said, it's a lie. No, my teacher called me and said, it's you. I said, it's not me. Ma, it's not me. It's not possible. Thank God, after Jesua, she left. But then, later on, God delivered me from foolishness. By the time I was finishing secondary school, some of you know now, I've given you some of my G's before, right? Even if I can't tell you that one, I can tell you that when I was leaving the university, my last result was 4.95. So, without umbo, without sorting, I was set apart.
Yes, sir.
I command am I. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So God is set apart. God is holy. And everything that God sets his hands on must also be set apart. Are you with me? Now, pay attention. This is why when God appears on a mountain and Moses is passing by, seeing the bush burned but not consumed, and God says, Moses, pull off your shoes, for where you stand is holy ground. What is it about the ground? Is there anything special about the ground? No. The only thing is that God has set his foot there.
Yes, sir.
So from now henceforth, this ground is now holy. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
This is very serious. This is something that the modern day church does not understand. The modern day church is looking for ways to make the world and the church look alike. But the Bible says otherwise. When God sets his hand on a thing, it must be set apart also. See, when you study the Bible, this is a very serious thing. Let me give an example. In Daniel chapter 5, we see a story of a man called King Belshazzar. He was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. And he wanted to have a feast with his 1,000 lords, just to drink wine and enjoy themselves. You know, there's a way you have money like this, you don't know what to do again. That's what was happening to Belshazzar. Let's just have fun. Let's just enjoy ourselves. Kill cows, fry meat, drink, and just... And while they were enjoying themselves, he now remembered that it's true. There are some cups and some utensils we got from the temple in Jerusalem when we captured Israel to become part of our kingdom. So Israel was on exile in Babylon. And so he said, hey, it's true. Go to where they kept those cups from Jerusalem, from the house of the Lord, and bring it out. Let's drink. Look at verse 2. He said, while he tasted the wine, he commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem. And they were drinking with it. Verse 3. They brought the golden vessels, and he drank with his concubines, and they were having fun. And while they were drinking with those cups, he saw a hand on the wall writing, mene, mene, teke ufasin. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Immediately he saw it, he knew, wahala, don't, he don't cast. He don't cast. He don't cast. He knew that there was problem. See, if you read verse 6, it will tell you that his bones were shaking. He knew that he had gone wrong. That's the problem when you mix the sacred with the secular. Are you with me? His joints were loosed. His knees smote one against another. Are you with me? And then he began to look for the meaning. Then Daniel came and revealed it. God was saying, thou hast been weighed on the balances and had found one thing. To tell you how serious God was about this matter. Cup, oh, cup, cup. Hey, my God. Verse 30 says, that night they killed him. Look at it. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Guess who killed him? Somebody that had no business with what was going on. Another king. King Darius just said, tonight, I need to take over Belshazzar's kingdom. He did not know he was responding to the jealousy of God. So, when I read this text, I asked myself, cup. So, kingdom end because of cup. Hey, God. On a normal day, it's not a big deal. These people that you are collecting their cups are more or less slaves, as it were, in your land. You could kill them at any time. But the only problem now is that those cups, God has attached his name to them. God has put his presence on them. They were used in the temple. Even though the people that had those cups or custodians of those things are now like slaves in your kingdom, those cups still belong to me. Hey. Are you with me? So because God has put his presence on those things, they must be separated unto him. Yes, they must be set apart unto him. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir. Next, just give me small volume.
Does this not sound like we don't live unto ourselves, but unto him who died and rose again? Yes, sir. Are you with me? See, when you believe in Jesus, you must be set apart unto God. When you believe in Jesus, you must be set apart unto him. You must be set apart unto God. You cannot live the way the world lives. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I need your feedback. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
You cannot go about your life the way the other people go about their lives. You see, this thing reminds me of when God was enacting the covenant of circumcision. God is so big on being set apart that he wanted a mark to separate his people from the people of the world. Remember in Genesis 17, when God was enacting that covenant of circumcision with Abraham, God said, even your servants, as long as they have anything to do with you, all the male servants must have the mark of circumcision. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
He said, anyone who is not circumcised shall be cut off from thy people. Are you following this? It was such a big deal that when David was going to fight Goliath, David said, who art thou, uncircumcised Philistine?
Yes, sir.
It was a mark saying, we belong to God, though. We are separated.
Yes, sir.
We are not like the world. We are separated. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
We are set apart. Now, in the New Testament, the Bible now says we are circumcised with the circumcision of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Colossians 2, verse 11. That we have been circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. The one that was done in the Old Testament was by human hands. But this one is done by Christ. So he's saying, just the same way, in natural circumcision, the foreskin of the male genital is removed, signifying that you have been, that old skin has been cut off. In the same way, when you come into Christ, Christ circumcises you, as it were. You have come into a different circumcision in Christ where the old life has been cut off.
Yes, sir.
And when everybody sees you and sees that you have been cut off from that old life, it is a sign that you belong to God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
What I'm saying, it's very, very, very important. Now think about it. You see those things we say? I am the temple of the Most High God. Glory! God lives in me. I'm the temple. They took cups that were from the temple. The jealousy of God arose. You will be temple. They go club.
Hey, somebody, pastor don't come this today. Say, pastor will cook this morning.
Say, oh, I just want to go and evangelize in the club.
Hey. You know that song? Say, you didn't want me, oh.
You that is temple of the Most High God, you are allowing the pagan kings to carry you anyhow. If God was jealous, that jealous that those kings that did that, he ended their kingdom, how much more you that is called the temple of the Most? These things is serious. It's just that the modern day church, let me tell you something, to preach like this, you have to make up your mind. It's called radical devotion. They will call you radical. Pastors can do on ministry page. Ah, God, I will talk. After she finished doing prophecy, wore her jean and told one guy. So we were now commenting, this one a pastor too. That's how bad it has gotten. Say after me, we are set apart unto God. So, how do we set ourselves apart? Number one, priority. Say after me, priority. I want you to say with a loud voice, priority. When you are set apart in consecration unto God, the Lord Jesus becomes your number one priority. The Lord Jesus becomes your number one priority. Do you know what it means? When you see a text like Philippians chapter 1, verse 20-21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What kind of text is this? Sometimes it looks like the people of the other religion are the ones living this more than us. You know, I asked one of our leaders, we're just talking in the house before the Guarimpa World Conference. I said, can the Christianity of today withstand radical Islam? As you are, as we are, can the Christianity of today withstand radical? I know by the revelation of the word of God and by the truth that that's not the way. But if you want to judge the truth by zeal, they are more zealous. You put a Muslim in one place, before you know what's happening, he wants his people to be everywhere. He's thinking, everything he's doing, he's thinking about the advancement of his faith. You as a child of God, can we look at you and say that for you to live is Christ? Can we discern that? Can they look at you and discern that this is what you're living for? I know you want to be a big businessman. I know you are doing well in business. I know you want to be all you want to be. I know you're ambitious and you should be. In fact, I believe if you really have a heart for Jesus, you will be ambitious. Oh my God. If you really have a heart for God, you will be ambitious. You cannot be small. For instance, by the grace of God, I read mechanical engineering. You know, I was practicing in the oil field. You know why? I discovered, you see this gospel? If the gospel will prevail, it has to run on the backs of people that believe in it. I want to ask you a question. Do you know how much is a bullet? How much? Roughly how much? Did you hear what she said? 35,000. When I was in the oil field, the soldiers that used to work with me as is well test engineer. One day, militants were coming to where we were working, and he shot the bullet. Boah! Just one. The thing was so loud. From where I was sitting, I did not know when I was standing. And I said, sir, you for shoot many now. He said, do you know how much is that one bullet? as at then. Say that bullet is 12,000. So now, think about it. Who is giving all those terrorists, all those radical bandits, those radical Muslim bandits everywhere, who is giving them the money? It is people that believe in those cause. We are still arguing tight, you know. And then tight. Pastors are now, if you don't tight, you devour. That's children, that's baby. You get to a point where the gospel, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And I know there are people who, there are some pastors who, they just want to use people's money and flex and all of that. That one, their own judgment is doing press up. That's a different ball game. We are talking about, do you really believe that Jesus is the way to salvation? Do you really believe that anyone who is not saved is going to be damned eternally? What crosses your mind when you see a person who is not saved? When you see a person who is not serious with God, what crosses your mind? How do you think about it? That's when we know if it's your priority. You have been in an estate. You have been in an estate for 15 years. No one person can say, the day you say I'm a Christian, say, really, you mean I'm? Like, you, serious, you mean I'm? Oh, wow. Everybody that is around me, I must preach, give you. This is not even about whether you are a pastor or not. The Paul is saying is for me to live is Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14 to 15 that we read. Please put it up again. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. You don't live unto yourself, but unto him who died for you and rose again. Say after me, I don't live unto myself. Say after me, I don't live for myself. You want to, you are trying to argue with somebody who can die for his faith. You cannot even preach for your faith. Think about it. People will swallow bombs and go and explode themselves for what they believe. You, to talk, just to some people to post. They say post. Just carry your phone and post about what you learned in church. Eh? I don't know how my friends will see me. That's what somebody told me. I said, I don't know how they will see me. They'll say, I'm becoming too churchy. I said, hey, wahala. And this Jesus that died for you, he was killed publicly. Tell me, priority. Some people are hearing what I'm saying now. That, Pastor, do, I won't come out, go ask. That is for you, you must hear. Priority. Say it again, priority. That's where it begins from. You must see Christ as your priority. You must see Christ as your priority. When you see 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20, you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Priority. You have been, say after me, I've been bought with a price. You are not talking. Say it, I've been bought with a price. Because I believe in Jesus. Jesus is my priority.
Glory!
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Thank God. What makes truth truth is not the zeal of those carrying it. Because somebody can be ignorantly zealous. On a simple basis, any religion that empowers you to take the life of another cannot be the way to God. On a simple, logical standpoint. Are you with me? It can't be. Look at Philippians chapter 1 verse 27. Philippians 1 verse 27. I want to show you something else here. Philippians 1 verse 27. It says, only let your conversation, better put, let your lifestyle be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That when I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. That yet stand in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Can people look at you and say you are striving for the faith of the gospel? Can you say the way you are, I am striving for the faith of the gospel? as a businessman, as a career person, as a lawyer, as a banker, can they look at you and say you are striving for the faith of the gospel? One of the reasons why I wanted to succeed in the oil industry is I wanted my money to sponsor the work of the gospel. Truly, Bible minam. True prosperity shall my cities be spread abroad. Let me tell you, any idea you see that has prevailed in the world, somebody was behind it. People were behind it. Or you think the way the whole world is now talking about LGBTQ, you think it was just organic? There are people that were paid. The parents who watch children movies, have you noticed that? I want to find trouble. Worst case scenario, YouTube will remove this one. Miss Rachel. Oh, you think you think she all woke up and changed? So they're saying, even if you're a girl, you can feel like a boy and it's fine. Guess what? They are coming for our children. It's our children they are going for. Why did you think Disney just woke up and they changed all their... Check all the recent Disney cartoons in the last 2 years. They will find a way and put Moana too. They will put it. They will make sure a girl and girl are married. A boy and boy, they will call... You don't know what is happening. These are people sponsoring the agenda of Satan because it is their priority. You, what are you sponsoring for Jesus? Can we say you are striving for the faith of the gospel? You see, Christian, pray for souls to be saved. You know, pray. Talk about on social media. Instead, he's talking about Mackenzie, Pyom. Say, I cannot laugh alone. This girl, boy, is very, very stupid, but you're watching it. You don't know that watch that you are giving is part of the reasons why more people are going to see it. It's called algorithm, Abi. Somebody will talk about Jesus. You just see 3 likes, 4 comments, 2 shares. You will see one nonsense thing. 8,000. You'll be wondering, what is happening? It is Christians watching that thing. Priority. Say after me, I am striving for the faith of the gospel. I am striving for the faith of the gospel. Priority. Some people were hearing me and saying, this kind of preaching is so radical. It's good. That's what will make you correct. You know, I've been a pastor for a while. And when there are some questions, when I see them, I say, you have come again. Do you realize that it is always Muslim guys trying to marry Christian sisters than Christian brothers trying to marry Muslim girls? You don't know. We have seen it. I've seen it again and again and again and again. The guy will be so nice to the girl. Eh? The girl will say, The guy will be so nice. The girl will say, Jay! If you are not married, this one, then make a yoke by. Then, when they marry, in fact, the guy will even tell them, don't worry. It's not a problem. Practice your own. I'll do my own. As you enter the house, we have had cases like that. It's not today. It didn't begin when I came to Abuja. It's not today. By the time they do the wedding, they will come to church. Do the wedding. By the time they do the wedding and move into the house, say from today henceforth, you don't. If I see you near that church, you are dead. It's an agenda. I don't want to go deep. There's a doctrine. Okay. I wanted to explain to you something in the Quran. You will like gist. There's a doctrine in the Quran that says you can deceive for the sake of Islam. I'm trying to pronounce it well. Something Tafiko.
Taufik or something. You may be a surprise. Pastor, you did read Quran.
For this generation, I did read though. I did read things. I did study things. This generation, some questions that some of our fathers did not believe will be asked. They're asking it now. So, oh my God. So when the Bible now says, don't be equally yoked to unbelievers, you see a Christian saying something like this. What is your priority? 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 Say after me, Jesus is my priority. Oh.
Jesus is my priority.
Number two, purity. So how do you set yourself apart? Number one, priority. Number two, purity. Number two, say after me what? Purity. Everybody shout it, purity.
Purity.
Shout it, purity.
Purity.
When I was teaching this sermon with our pastors, I said, Pastor, this service, God will help us preach.
2 Timothy 2, verse 20. Verse 21. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20 to 21. The Bible says, but in a great house, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Remember, when Nebuchadnezzar was doing his party, he went to take vessels, Abi. The cups, gold and silver cups, remember. Some to honor and some to dishonor. Then verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. If a man therefore purge himself. I know some people who say, you don't need to purge yourself. Once you're in Christ, you're already purged. You might be saying, if a man purge himself, you have been purged that you will purge yourself. If a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor. As a Christian, being set apart unto God, there are things you say, I cannot do. I must not do. I'm a child of God. I cannot do this. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Well, even a day, you say you're a Christian. He says, the one that used to shock me, you.
A brother was complaining to me that the place he's doing evangelism, he's confused. He went to preach to the girl. The girl said, I'm a child of God. I'm a worker in so-and-so church. I said, okay. He said, fine.
But he felt preach to this girl. The girl said, leave me. I'm a worker in church. I'm born again. What is the problem? Must you? I said, okay, sorry. He said, but actually, I stay here. You can join me, go to church. He found out 1 week later that she runs gay. This one, you just meet a guy. Oh, how is it? You just enter house. Bah, open leg. Bah, bah. See, just is one night stand. It's one night fall. See, it's one night. You're not standing. You're falling. What's that? What's the problem? Let me tell you something. It was calculated. Satan did it intentionally. Years ago, at some point in the university, I told myself, I will stop watching Nollywood movies. Sorry, Hollywood movies or what we call American film. Because I noticed a trend. You'll be watching a movie. A girl and guy just meet. Before you know, they're on the bed. How? From where? And they'll be acting, you know, all this movie fantasy, as if they don't move fast, if something will happen, they'll be moving clothes, acting like something's wrong with them. They're just tearing the clothes open. Ah! You put the person on the gas cooker, scatter out the plate. Ah! What is the problem? What is the problem? Purity. Can you say after me, purity? Let me tell you, as a child of God who is set apart unto God, there are things your eyes should not see. There are things your eyes should not see. There are things, you know, there are some movies they'll say from 18, say, we are all adults here. No, it should be rated a 200. I will never see it. There are things you should not see. No, there are things you should not see. There are some movie series I wondered, how did they watch it? How did they watch it? Hey! You know, they would drag me, but no problem. There was a one, Game of Thrones or Salem. I remember then, when those things came out, me, I was feeling fear of missing out. I felt I was missing out. What's going on? Ah, tell me now. Involve me. What's in the apple? What involved me? So I passed somewhere in school. I just saw people watching. Like 4 or 5 boys. Huh? This thing is not moving them. The 2 or 3 minutes I saw, I said, blood. Jesus. Help me, Lord. Wash me, Lord. What did I just see? Huh? Stark naked. What? And they're just watching like this. Oh, boom face. We are all adults here. We are all adults. Tomorrow now, Pastor, I'm struggling. You know, this habit, hey, I'm just struggling. No, you sowed seeds. You sowed things in your heart. You sowed seeds. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Purity. Can you say after me, purity? Say purity. When you are a correct Christian, set apart unto God, you will not be asking, can we kiss in relationship? You are not married. Don't kiss. Don't kiss. Don't tell me anything. You are not married. Don't kiss. Is it doing proposal? You are still doing proposal. You are kissing. Marriage that may not work. Oh. So don't be asking all those questions. Stop asking all those questions. They say, no, you are not married. It's for married people. You are not married, sir. You are not married, ma. Don't ask. Oh, pastor, I'm sure somebody did this, pastor. You say, I'm telling you, it's Bible. So tell me the honest truth. Tell me the honest truth. Yeah. Thank you, a guy. I wanted to bring a girl. So imagine Jesus was sitting there. Tell me. Jesus was in your front, and this is the person you are dating, and you are not yet married. Can you kiss? No. Kiss now, make me see. If Jesus was in your front, and 2 of you are not married, you are on your way, can you kiss? Something that you'll be saying, God, forgive me, I made a mistake. It was a mistake that it happened when it happened. Person saying, you know, it's not a sin. The Bible never said, come on, shut up. God bless you. I know. Laugh, but learn.
Yes,
these are the things, eh? He told you, if a man purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel fit unto the masters you prepared for every good work. These are the things that makes God say, this is my, I will make this one different. This one is special to me. Are you with me? Oh, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6 from verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9. It says, everybody read it. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Do you know what effeminate is? A guy acting like a girl, or a girl acting like a guy. That's what effeminate means. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. You see, Bible, I love it. You see, Bible has talked, do you know how many years this was written? People think it's a joke. It's a demonic spirit. This same lesbianism and homosexuality is a demonic spirit that did not begin today. As old as Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, as old as Sodom and Gomorrah, you are dealing with the same demons.
Yes,
the same evil spirit. People think it's just normal. You think it's normal? You think it's normal? It's not normal. Years ago, we had a lady in church. Very exposed lady, travels around, goes around. She came to me one day and said, "Ah, Pastor, I don't know where I went to. I came back and I started having sexual urges towards my dog. So it will be so strong, she will pull herself naked, bring the dog to just be touching her body." She said, "This thing." I said, "You, where did you go?" What does one say? Azake is holding concert. Me, we go. You go and collect. This one is only concert, 30 December. Ah, if I was in Lagos, I'd say, "For a year, this fish is hot." I trust my men in Lagos. They will do a good job. You all go. You come back with something. Start feeling something. None of them will inherit the kingdom of God. See the Bible. Go open it. Verse 10. "Neither nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Verse 11. "And such were some of you." So he's talking about, now that you're in Christ, this is in your past.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
"But ye are washed."
Glory.
"But ye are sanctified."
Glory.
Say after me, I am washed.
I am washed.
I am sanctified.
I am sanctified.
I am justified.
I am justified.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
And by the Spirit of our God.
Glory.
Glory. Now, look at that word sanctified, meaning you have been separated. Because of the name of Jesus on you and the Spirit of God in you, you have been separated. Are you with me? Jump to verse 15. Jump to verse 15. It says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid." You see what is happening here? Now that you are in Christ, it says your body, you have been joined onto the members of Christ. This is also for your healing. No? When you begin to see pain in your body, you say, "My body is a member of Christ."
Hallelujah.
That means if this pain cannot stay in Christ, it cannot stay in my body. Are you with me?
Yes.
When you are trying to study and you seem like your mind is confused, he says, "My body is a member of Christ." Christ cannot be in this class and be confused also. I have a sound mind in the name of Jesus. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
My body has become a member of Christ. I cannot enter a car and have an accident.
Mm.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So I'm showing you that this is revelation to embrace. Not just for purity now. But he's telling you, the real context here is, how can you take the member of Christ and make it a member of an harlot? He says, God forbid. Are you with me? Verse 16. It says, "What? Know you not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two certainly shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." Glory. Verse 18. "Flee fornication, for every sin that the man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." You know, people say sin is sin. There is no higher sin. There is no lower sin. But this text is telling us that sin is not sin. That fornication is on a different level of sin above sins. Thank God. You know one thing, eh? Thank God I'm not the one that wrote the Bible. I'm not the one that... my own is to preach it faithfully. I didn't write it. Yeah, I didn't write it. My own is to study it and preach it faithfully. Verse 19. It says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Verse 20. "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Some of you say, "Pastor, we have heard now. Why are you overflogging it?" Because people don't preach it again. Oh, you think it's easy to preach? Why will you preach it when the person that gives you 10 million every month, you know that he used to cheat on his wife? He's the big partner in church. After the service, say, "Man of God, Papa received this one. But that message you preach, don't preach it again." Me, ask my leaders. Nothing you feel to close my mouth. Eh? You know fit. If you like, buy me G-Wagon, I will collect them, but I'll go preach, give you. Yeah, I will collect it. But I will preach give you. You repent, repent. But that key gives, don't leave it there. Leave it there. Repent. Praise the Lord. In fact, when you are close to me like that, oh, I will hold you at the jugular. You must repent. Oh, you must repent. You must repent. Let it and name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So let me be sure you are following. How do we set ourselves apart? Number one is what?
Priority.
Number two is what? Purity. And number three is pleasure in God. So God does not want you to have a walk with him that is forced. God wants you to enjoy him. And let me tell you, it's not just that he wants you to enjoy him. God is bitter when you are not enjoying him. See, when it looks like your Christianity is such that it's all about trying to perform for the sake of just performance and no joy within, it displeases God. Look at James chapter 4, verse 4. For instance, when I was telling us to lift your hands and sing Yeshua, some of those people, later is today, let them just pass anywhere they are playing. When the bed do they enter body, they just say, hey, see the beat, see the beat, see the beat, see the beat. Those same people in church, Yeshua. Actually, that thing that is happening is proof that their spiritual senses have been dulled towards God. James 4, verse 4. Everybody read. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Pause first. Who is an adulterer? Who is an adulterer? It is somebody who is married but having external affairs with somebody who is not their partner. So when a man has a wife but has a side chick that he loves and is giving attention to more than his wife, he is an adulterer. When a woman has a husband and she has one guy in the office who they do brunch, lunch, sconch together, they are always sconching and she'll be calling her husband in the house, Papa Emeka. But this guy, you're such a darling. Sweetheart, how you doing? They say office girlfriend or office work wife or work. She's an adulterer. An adulteress, please. Then the man is an adulterer. So why is he using that term here? He's saying when you are married to Christ and you are involved and enjoying the things of the world. Let's read it. He says, know ye not that the friendship of the receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Let me tell you what is happening. Some people come and say, oh God, give me money. I want this. Lord, give me. Lord, give me. God now say, you want me to give you? Boy, I'm not your friend now. I know what you really like. This money now, you will consume it upon your lust. It's not me you really like. I'm not really your friend. So that thing you want to take, I will not give you. It's just like a man. If he has a wife, have we not heard of those people that are in a relationship? When the guy they're actually dating gives them money, they will send credit to the guy that they like. So when the guy now finds out that the girl is cheating on him, when she asks him for money again, he says, I will not give it because you want to give it to John. He says, sorry, every John here, don't mind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So one of the reasons why many people are Christians but struggling is because God has not seen that they have found pleasure in him. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God has not, they're enduring God, they are not enjoying God. They are enduring God. They are just, maybe just pray, may you not go hellfire. Let it not just be that we went to hell. Let's just believe so that we'll go to heaven. They are not really enjoying God. And you can't enjoy God. The Bible says, set your affections on things above. You can set your affection. Colossians 3 from verse 2. Set your affection. You can decide to open your affection. Anybody that is enjoying anything, there's one day it started and it was not sweet at the beginning.
Yes, sir.
Yes. People that are smoking like chimney now, the first time they gave them, they were coughing. After a while, they start using their nose. After a while, it's coming from their ear.
Hey, brother, how far now? Where the ganja are they?
Now, they started from somewhere. It is first duty before delight. Am I talking to you? You can decide to enjoy God. And you should. That's a way you set yourself apart. For instance, a simple way I know that you are enduring God or you are enduring God is the way you respond in worship. Some people are saying, Pastor, just be singing this thing. Let's just enjoy God. And I'm saying, I beg. And he says he's a Christian. Of course, I'm all for timekeeping. I believe in. Are you with me? But a real Christian will be saying, Pastor, don't end. Let's have other. Okay, let's close now. Let's have another service where we can eat the word. Let's chew this word. Let's enter it. Let's go deeper. It is that kind of person that God can say, I know what you really enjoy. So take more to do more for me. Take more to do more for me. Take more to do more for me. Because people like you, I can entrust you with more. You are the one that if you go to school, all your friends know about Jesus. If I put you in a place of power, you will touch men for me. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
What I'm telling you, this thing I just told you is my life. Say after me, I will enjoy God. Jump on your feet. So how do we set ourselves apart? Number one?
Priority.
Number one, what? Priority. Raise your hands and say, Jesus, you are my priority. Number two, purity.
Purity.
Say after me, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Raise your hands and say it, your right hand.
In the name of Jesus.
From today henceforth, the fire of purity is over my life. The fire of purity burns in my life. It burns every chaff. And number three, I have pleasure in God. Psalms 1 verse 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night, but his delight. He says in verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaf does not wither. He bringeth forth his fruit in due season. So eventually, when you set yourself apart unto God, you begin to see God kind of blessings. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
God level of blessings. He bringeth forth his fruits. See, can you say after me, I bring forth my fruit in due season. Some of you are not talking. Joel, talk. Everybody declare, I bring forth my fruit in due season.
I bring forth my fruit in due season.
Amen. Kai. There's one text I wanted to show you. Hey. When I saw that one, I dropped Bible. I said, oh, Chim. Chim, chuk me Bible. I know I may be very dramatic to some of you. Some of you are going to say, that pastor, you get drama. Hey, I like it like that. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 21 to 22. He says, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot partake of the cup of the Lord and the table of devils. Look at verse 22. He says, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? My God. You know those, when I read that, you know those films, Nigeria, that I used to watch, when the woman comes into the room and catch her husband with another man and that girl, the man will say, I can explain. He said, don't explain anything, you are a shameless fool. Is it that he's talking? Is jealousy talking? Then the other one will sit on you and start beating. That beating is jealousy. Imagine God is the one trying to beat somebody. Imagine God saying, you catch a person in adultery towards him. You see, I can explain. Before you finish explaining, you don't go. Kai. I present myself to thee, separated unto you. Agiazo, agiazo, agiazo. I present myself to you, separated.
Now, some people may be saying, Pastor, I get your message, but it has not been easy. Receive grace in the name of Jesus. 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 Make that your prayer right now. Lord, I receive grace to set myself apart. I receive grace to make you my priority. I receive grace to make you my priority. I receive grace to live a life of purity. And I receive grace to delight myself in you, to enjoy you, my Lord. I receive grace.
Self to thee, separated unto thee. I present myself to you, separated unto you. I present myself to you, separated. I present myself to you, separated. I present myself. Agiazo, agiazo. I present to you.
We talk about today's service on social media. Tag me and mention me.